Please permit me 30 seconds before we begin to thank all of those who have joined the No Retreat Matching Gift Campaign. Thank you very much. If you would like to join the many who are supporting this ministry financially during this Match Gift Campaign, we would be mega grateful. It is going well. Thank you for that. If you would like to learn more and join our Gospel Partner Brigade, visit FortisInstitute.org/donate.
Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Your first mission is to keep yourself happy.
It's living for self that is so exhausting and frustrating because you were made to live for Him. So when you begin to please Him, you begin to thrive. It's not a burden. It's not a duty. It's a joy. I come alive. This is what I was made for.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's just enjoy it while we can. Breaking news here on Wretched Radio. You better enjoy it. Probably won't last very long. Let me take you to Louisiana. It was the 5th District Court which decided, hey, you can't ship abortion pills into states that have outlawed abortion. And all of God's people said, duh. The shipping pills across state lines, that went into effect really under the Biden administration. Why? Because they saw, there are going to be more and more states that are shutting it down, as they are. And they were terrified that women wouldn't be able to take the lives of their own lovely children. And so what did they concoct? It's okay for you to send an abortifacient across state lines, even to a state where they said it's verboten. Well, the Fifth Circuit Court in Louisiana, of all places, they decided no can do. You can't send those tablets to expectant mothers in any state where abortion is considered illegal. Here's the deets from the Associated Press. One of the most common means of abortion in the U.S. is I never know how to say it, mifepristone.
I think it's mifepristone.
Mifepristone.
I think that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard it on Fox News said that way.
Well,
I've taken,
well,
taken
well,
their word on. For it.
Speaking of Fox News.
Film at 11.
Tell you, my blood pressure has gone down an awful lot since I gave up the Fox News years ago. I just heard somebody say this. They had a parent who was an older parent who would watch Fox News just all day. They noticed mom and dad getting increasingly agitated and irritable. They said, why don't you just watch Fox News for like 5 minutes in the morning and you pretty much have the script for the entire day? Because that's all it is. They pick the big stories and bang, bang. And now we're going to bring in an expert who's from the military and he's really torqued. Here's somebody from the formerly worked at a low-level job in the state-level department who's really agitated. And all it does is get you whipped into a frenzy and frazzled and tired and irritable. I just found it's a whole lot healthier to fast. That, of course, is my subjective experience. Your mileage may vary. To the Associated Press, 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals requiring that the abortion pill be distributed only in person and at clinics, overruling regulations set by the FDA. That's a great ruling. It's pretty rare when that happens these days. Nonetheless, it's going to go to the Supreme Court, which means it'll probably be challenged. It could be overturned by another court, and on the game goes. Really, we're at the point, though, apparently, where we think that it is okay to simply ship a pill in an envelope that would take the life of a child. No concern about the health of the mother. No. We're not going to examine her. We're not going to see what... We're not going to monitor the situation. Here's your pills. Take the life of your child. So to the Fifth Circuit in Louisiana, I say salute. The judge who wrote the ruling happened to be an appointment of Donald Trump. agreed with the state of Louisiana's contention that allowing the drug to be mailed makes moot the state's ban on abortion at all stages of pregnancy. There's just no point in these states having laws if they can be circumvented with telehealth. Every abortion facilitated by FDA's action cancels Louisiana's ban on medical abortions and undermines its policy that every unborn child is a human being from the moment of conception and is therefore a legal person. Speaking of abortion, let's go to the Capitol, shall we? This is Brandon Gill. He's from the South someplace. He's a congressman from, let's just call it America, to be safe. This is a young man who is very calm under fire and who brings a lot of heat when it comes to these different hearings. Mom and Dad, this is not one for the kids. If you've got young children, I would encourage you to not listen to this. Why am I playing it if it could be so offensive? No, it would be hard on young ears. It's because I think, as painful as it is to hear what you're about to hear from Brandon Gill, we need to be reminded. We need to remember what goes on behind closed Planned Parenthood doors. We need to know what they are doing to children in this country so that we don't lose our zeal and passion for defending them. What state is he from, Jimmy?
Texas.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. Like I said, America. That's although right. Texas is kind of it's like on the opposite end of the spectrum of California. They're kind of like two different countries right inside of America. Mom and Dad, you have those little ones tucked away. This is Brandon Gill, and he's one of these hearings. I don't know. Has anything ever been accomplished at these hearings other than grandstanding, basically? You'll hear. She's a pro-abortion expert when it comes to the impact on the economy if abortion is made illegal. And he was having none of it.
You're an advocate for abortion, for abortion policy. What's your favorite type of abortion?
Oh.
I am an advocate for patients having access to the full realm of reproductive health care.
But do you have a preferred method of abortion that you like?
I do not.
Oh, what's your favorite? What's your favorite way of offing a child?
I mean, read through a couple different methods, and I want to get your take on how much you like these. The first type is called a suction abortion. This is when the cervix is dilated and a strong suction, 29 times the power of a household vacuum cleaner, tears the baby's body apart and sucks it through the hose into a container. Do you prefer that method?
I stand by my former testimony.
Don't blame her. She can't win that. The only thing that I might have done different if I were Brandon Gill, I might have started changing my follow-up questions. I mean, he did to a degree, but he was determined to stick with which one is this? Is this one of your favorite methods? How's about just, do you approve of this method? Make her answer that.
That sounds kind of gross, doesn't it? Sounds pretty gruesome. Do you agree? It does to me.
I stand by how I answered your question fully and accurately.
Yeah, okay. She can't answer that.
What about this one? This one is called dilation and curettage. After dilation of the cervix, a sharp looped knife is inserted into the uterus. The baby's body is cut into pieces and extracted, often by suction. Do you prefer that method?
What I believe we are here to talk about today is the FACE Act. We are not here to talk about
I'm asking you, you're a pro-abortion advocate. I'm asking if you prefer the dilation and curettage method.
I am a access to reproductive health care advocate.
If she's an advocate, she should know these things. I mean, you're advocating for it. And that's why, I wish she had said, so you're okay with this. This is what you're advocating for.
I want to talk about abortion itself. Why is that?
I would prefer to talk about the reason that the committee called the hearing.
Is it because it's uncomfortable to talk about?
Would prefer
it should
to
be uncomfortable.
I would prefer, if you would let me finish my statement, to talk about the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, which is
We're
what I was
about
asked
what,
to come
what that access gets. How about this one? It's called dilation and evacuation. Forceps are inserted into the uterus, grabbing and twisting the baby's body to dismember him or her. If the head is too large, it must be crushed in order to remove it. Do you prefer that method?
Oh, I wish he had said, do you affirm that? Is that what you're advocating? Is that what you're here advocating for today?
I would prefer to talk about the reason the hearing was called and the basis of my expert testimony.
It's uncomfortable to hear this, isn't it? It is. I think it is because it's barbaric and evil. How about this one? It's called the saline injection. It's when a 20% salt solution is injected through the mother's abdomen into the baby's amniotic fluid. The baby's skin is burned off. The baby ingests the solution and dies of salt poisoning, dehydration, and hemorrhaging of the brain. Do you prefer that method?
I would prefer to talk about the subject of the hearing.
This is the subject of the hearing. This is about protests outside of abortion clinics. I'm asking you about abortion.
Mm-hmm. I stand by my prior testimony.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to talk about this either if I were you, because it is barbaric and evil.
It is barbaric and evil. It is barbaric and evil. And any nation that affirms it and finances it, pretty hard to argue with bring any other stat you want. Pretty hard to argue that that's a moral nation. That is a fallen nation. And incidentally, I just read birth rates in America, historic low. I think like 3 million kids were something, just very low number. We're not even replacing ourselves. Instead, what are we doing? We're terminating the lives of our children through barbaric practices, as you just heard described, and courtesy of sending a pill across state lines in a bubble-wrapped envelope. This is Wretched Radio.
No retreat. That's the name of Fortis Institute's Spring Match campaign, and we chose that name for a reason. The church has been quietly backing up for years. Fortis Institute is determined to push the other direction, to encourage churches to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ rightly and loudly. That's why we're inviting you to join us on the No Retreat Spring Match campaign. Right now, through the end of May, every dollar you give is matched, dollar for dollar. You can find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched. masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a lot of ministries talk to individuals, and that's fine. But somewhere along the way, the local church gets forgotten. And we believe that to be a big problem. And that's why we exist at Fortis Institute. We're not trying to be your church. As a matter of fact, we're always pointing to your local church. And if that mission is something that resonates with you, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? We know you have questions about what that would look like in your life, and we've got answers at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation means a wrath-removing sacrifice. Jesus bore God's wrath on our behalf, and in return, we receive his righteous standing before God the Father.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
They want your kids to hate you. This is Wretched Radio. Perhaps you're thinking, oh, you mean all those New York Times bestseller books that talk about toxic parents, terrible human beings, anybody who disagrees with you, you got to cut them off. You got to get yourself away from those people. No, I'm not talking about that particular section at the bookstore. I'm talking about the New York Times specifically. They published an article by a professor who is from Yale, Samuel M-O-Y-N, I believe it's pronounced Moyne. He argues that ageism is a thing. In other words, you know, the young people look at old people and they're Karens, and the Karens look at the young people like, no, oh, you kids. So there's ageism. But more than that, he claims, there's gerontocracy. Is there a way to find out when a word was invented? Gerontocracy? I mean, there's meritocracy. I understand that the word that tocracy has been around. Gerontocracy. Here's the problem. You've got old people who have too much stuff and they're making life hard for the young people. What? You got something on gerontocracy?
No. Spell it for me.
Oh.
What I found says gerontocracy, but it says it's a form of government.
G-E...
Oh, I see. Yeah, no, I found the right.
G-E-R-O-N-tocracy.
Yep.
All right, what do you got?
I just found the definition that says it's a form of government or organizational structure where power is held by the oldest members of society.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when was that word coined?
Yeah, I'm looking.
Now, I'll tell you what, not before Karl Marx. That's what this is. It was a really good article in the Christian Post by one Patricia Johnson. She's talking about this piece in the New York Times, and she's helping us to understand what's behind this claim that we're living in a gerontocracy. Now, obviously, it's not a formalized state. It isn't a recognized form of government. It's a term used to divide and conquer. Because you see, older Americans, they're hoarding their wealth. Well, how's about they've worked really hard to accumulate it? I mean, isn't that kind of like a good thing after decades and decades? But they've got too much wealth. Therefore, they've got too much power. They own too many of the homes. And it's causing the young to suffer. Does that sound like a similar song sung off of the same Marxist play sheet? Well, it should. What is the solution to the gerontocracy problem? Seniors need to give more. Through forced downsizing, higher property taxes on long-term homeowners. Smelling like Marxism? It is. And mandatory retirement ages. You got to stop working and quit making so much money now that you know so much. Yeah, that makes sense. And we got to shift the political power toward younger voters. There's nothing about this that isn't anti-biblical. Let's just start with putting all of the political power into the hands of younger voters. Let's just see what the Bible says about wisdom. It's acquired. It's something that you amass over the years. And the old people are the ones who are identified as the wise people. They're the ones who know stuff. You want them to be making your decisions, not in a Marxist world, because this really isn't about putting power into the hands of the young. It's about removing power from everybody so that they, and when I say they, it's not a nebulous term, it's Marxists who want the power, because there's always power. It's never going to be this utopian. We're all got the same stuff with the same abilities and everybody's happy because it's just like it is now, only more fair and better. It's a Marxist utopia. It's never worked anywhere because it can't, because all of the principles that undergird it are anti-biblical. It's old people who have the wisdom. They should be making the decisions. It's smarter if they do. It doesn't mean that the kids can't participate in the process, but it does mean that older people just know more stuff. And what this type of messaging does is it pits young against old, which is the playbook that we are seeing run over and over and over again in our country. And that's exactly what Patricia Johnson identifies. This is just aimed at young people. And it's designed, it's intentionally turning sons and daughters against their parents. They become embittered to them instead of appreciating them, respecting them, honoring them, and looking forward to the day when they reach that level or they receive an inheritance. No, we got to take it all away from them and give it to us. From the article, this rhetoric creates artificial conflict between generations, telling young people their struggles aren't caused by decades of bad policy or inflation or runaway debt or gas prices, whatever you want, open borders, too many regulations on organizations and industries. The problem? Grandma and grandpa. You're the problem. Look at what you've done by amassing stuff, by having your mortgage paid. How dare you? And parents who worked hard their whole lives and maybe now are starting to amass some money, they're the problem. Well, what do they need to do? Downsize and give it away. Well, that's thievery. That's all this is. It's thievery. That's the core of Marxism. It's jealousy, envy, and thievery. This is divide and conquer. It started out with the bourgeoisie versus the proletariat. We're seeing cultural Marxism today. Race versus race. I don't know why this particular issue is rather visceral for me. I think it is because where I came from up north, what I was told about the attitude of the ethnic groups in the South, and then coming to the South and experiencing it and going, what, are you kidding me? Of course there's some racist people, but this is amazing. It's like so respectful. And I think that everybody, you know, we get it. There are some ethnic differences. It doesn't mean that one is more of a human than the other, but we appreciated it and enjoyed it. And it was polite. And it's all gone. Well, not all, but mostly courtesy of Barack Obama and others. And I miss it. I just miss it. I used to enjoy it so much. And now it's been divided, separated, and set against one another. Everything is black and white. Everything, this black group, that white group. It's like, how's about just people? Can we just go back to that? No, because it's cultural Marxism. It's pitting people against one another so that a certain group of people can amass control because we've all gone at each other's throats for so long. And now we've got something called gerontocracy, where we actually put generation pitted against generation. You find out when gerontocracy was invented?
Yeah, actually, it was 1828.
I don't believe it.
By the French-Swiss journalist and political activist, Jean-Jacques Fayzy, F-A-Z-Y.
Fayzy? Uh-huh. Yeah, because it couldn't be Rousseau. That wouldn't be the right century.
Right, but it was made more popular and used more often beginning in the 1930s.
Yeah, of course it is. Mm-hmm. The goal, fracture families, communities, demand redistribution, stronger state control. Don't fix the problems, blame the problems, use the problems to divide and conquer. This is in the playbook. Who ran it? Well, how's about Mao, the Cultural Revolution in China, mobilized millions of young Red Guards to attack, quote, the four olds, old ideas, old culture, old customs, old habits. You got to denounce your teachers, your elders, your own parents because they're counter-revolutionaries because they're old. We're young and they're bad and they're causing all the problems. But wait, how's about Pol Pot? In Cambodia, it was radical. And it was to push against professionals, intellectuals, urban dwellers, anyone associated with the old order. What did they do? Death marches, labor camps, families split up by age and gender into work brigades. Anybody who was tainted by education, property, traditional authority, they could be executed or just starved to death. The goal, year zero, wipe the slate clean by eliminating anyone who represented accumulated knowledge, stability, or success. You know how horrible those things are. Lenin, he perfected it. 1917, the hatred between young and old, he just was like a bellows for them. The educated versus the uneducated, labeled older generations and anyone with property or traditional values as enemies of the revolution, encouraging youth to see elders not as people who had built Russia, but as obstacles to be swept aside so the new Soviet order could rise. Does that feel familiar? That's exactly what's happening right now. Generational warfare ultimately helped to justify red terror and mass executions, destruction of family and tradition. And today, you've got a Yale professor running the exact same play. Another chapter in fundamentally changing America. This is Wretched Radio.